Government leaders, the Gardaí and health officials have issued an appeal to people not to let their guard down this St Patrick's Day and to abide by public health guidelines. A big Garda operation is underway to prevent people taking part in protests, street or house parties. Here's our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds.
Gardaí have cordoned off key locations in Dublin this morning where they suspect anti-vaccine, anti-mask and anti-lockdown protesters may gather. A major policing operation is underway, led by the Assistant Commissioner in charge of Dublin, Anne-Marie Cagney, which Gardaí say will be based on a graduated response. Three public order units and a peaceful crowd management unit have been deployed to various parts of the city, along with the dog and mounted units. Gardaí say they're not only concerned about multiple protests planned on social media by disparate groups, but also about house and street parties and groups gathering outdoors to drink alcohol in the good weather. The Taoiseach, along with public health officials, have asked people to stay at home today and abide by the guidelines and restrictions to prevent the spread of COVID-19. However, the policing authority has warned that the level of compliance is fraying and that there is an inevitable level of weariness with consequences for policing. Paul Reynolds, RTE News, Dublin.
President Michael D. Higgins has said the pandemic has reminded people of shared vulnerability and the need for an understanding that can fly past borders. In his St. Patrick's Day message, President Higgins said the country must exit not only the fog of the pandemic, but also abandon strategies of life that had left a legacy of lost communality and a planet in danger.
There will be a capacity for joy in our exit from COVID-19. But that joy should be informed by our reflection on the new values we will invoke and practice as we set out on the new journey we undertake together. Out of COVID, we must globally share that which we need for a shared journey. Trust in words is fading. That trust must be restored.
Cultural events are taking place around the world today to mark St. Patrick's Day. Instead of the usual parades and gatherings, the events this year will be online and aim to bring Irish music, culture and heritage to viewers at home and abroad. Our arts and media correspondent Sinead Crowley reports.
It will be a virtual occasion, but the very best in Irish arts and culture will be celebrated today on a range of broadcast and online platforms. It's the final day of the St. Patrick's Festival, Dúshig Éire, and there will be virtual tours, pageantry, marching bands and lots more on the St. Patrick's Festival TV channel, while a St. Patrick's Festival celebration will be broadcast on RTÉ1 television at 6:30. Members of the public who wish to take part in their own parades can record them at home and share them on social media using the hashtag RTÉ Virtual Parade. Meanwhile, an online film featuring 500 drones, which was created by the festival along with Tourism Ireland and Dublin City Council, is being released. Called An Orchestra of Light, it will light up some of the capital's best-known landmarks. Culture Ireland has an online festival, Shoda, showcasing all Irish art forms, from architecture to music to the visual arts, while buildings all over the world will be lit up once again as part of Tourism Ireland's Global Greening Initiative. Beg dini ag fanach samalia anya, ag beg narthar siúl ar lina agus ar namian eagsúl, con lála fórig a chéilúra.
The Taoiseach Micheál Martin will have a virtual meeting with the US President Joe Biden today as part of the traditional St. Patrick's Day celebrations. He will also hold talks with the US Vice President Kamala Harris, the Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, and members of the Congressional Friends of Ireland Caucus. Vice President Harris will host a virtual meeting with the Northern Ireland First Minister Arlene Foster and the Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill. Latest figures from the Health Products Regulatory Authority show there have been almost 3,500 reports of suspected side effects from COVID-19 vaccines here. The agency, which monitors the safety of medicines, said the most commonly reported side effects were in line with those typically associated with vaccination. It said there had been no reports of the nature described by the Norwegian Medicines Agency. Here's our health correspondent, Fergal Bowers.
The Health Products Regulatory Authority is a statutory body whose role includes monitoring the safety of medicines in Ireland. Its latest figures show that it received 3,484 reports of suspected side effects relating to COVID-19 vaccines here up to late last month. That is out of over 409,500 doses administered. The HPRA said that most of the commonly reported side effects are in line with those typically associated with vaccination. These are headache, muscle pain or nausea. the agency has received less than 5 reports associated with blood clots, but none of the nature seen in Norway. Over 2,500 of the reported side effects have been with mRNA vaccines. Just 954 reported side effects have been associated with the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Gardaí and Donegal have seized cocaine with a potential street value of more than €2 million. The drugs were found concealed in the panels of a van. Gardaí suspect the cocaine was destined for sale on both sides of the border. Searches are continuing and no arrests have so far been made. And now the weather.
RTE Radio 1 Weather with Centra. We're working hard to provide a safe environment so you can shop safely in your local Centra.
Fog will clear away slowly this morning, leaving a generally dry day with sunny spells. It'll become cloudier in Connacht and Ulster this afternoon with drizzle in the northwest. Highest temperatures will range from 10 to 15 degrees.
There are pictures of Tipperary jockey Rachel Blackmore and her horse Honeysuckle on all the front pages as she became the first woman to win the champion hurdle at Cheltenham yesterday. For lead stories, the papers look elsewhere. Paddy's stay, says the headline in the Irish Daily Mirror. That's a reference to what the paper calls the Taoiseach Micheál Martin's heartfelt plea for people to stay at home on St. Patrick's Day. That plea is also highlighted in the Irish Independent, which reports concern that Ireland again stands on the edge with fears of another COVID-19 surge. Be patriotic, stay at home is the headline in the Irish Daily Mail, summing up another plea from ministers as Gardaí are reported to be fearful that violent clashes in Dublin will mar the day of celebration. In the Irish Sun, Stephen Breen reports that Gardaí will throw a ring of steel around the capital today as the force braces for 5 main anti-lockdown protests there. We can reveal, he writes, that cops believe that far-right supporters may stage last-minute demos in city parks. There's a more muted report in the Irish Examiner. Cormac O'Keefe writes that up to 8 separate protests are expected in Dublin, but he quotes one experienced senior Garda as saying he did not expect sizable numbers to gather at each event. Groups will turn up and leave a mark, but I don't think there will be violence to any great degree, said the Garda. I'd not rule out combustion here and there. Feral teen gangs getting into town could exercise us a bit. In the Examiner's lead, O'Keefe reports that Garda use of controversial spying powers has dropped dramatically over the last 2 years, following a landmark High Court ruling in 2018 in a case taken by the convicted murderer Graham Dwyer. According to the Irish Times, preparations are underway to resume administration of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine amid optimism that the product will be given safety clearance by the European Medicines Agency tomorrow. And the Irish Daily Star reports that Ireland is set to get 110,000 more Pfizer vaccines in the coming weeks. The good news coming in time for St. Patrick's Day, also for the headline writer who came up with Cade Mila Pfizer. The Independent has a cartoon by Graham Keyes with a Brexit flavour. St. Patrick is on the coast of Antrim surrounded by snakes, and an official looking man is telling him, I don't care who you are, mate, you're not driving anything out of Ireland until you've filled out these forms in triplicate. Martin Turner's cartoon in the Times shows 2 versions of St. Patrick. His message in the year 441 AD is go forth for the sake of God and spread the word. His message in 2021, stay put for God's sake and don't spread the virus. A letter writer in the Times points out that St. Patrick was a non-Irish national, trafficked and forced into slavery as a herdsman in our country, and dehumanised to the extent that he had to eat and sleep alongside the animals in his charge. Michael Gannon of Kilkenny says no one expects that the non-Irish nationals, the trafficked and the homeless that continue to reside amongst us be granted the same status as our national saint. Just a human, civilised response to their essential needs would be ample, and I suggest be appreciated by Patrick too.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day and the weather is meant to be fine, so inevitably more people will gather together outside. The Taoiseach and public health specialists have asked us not to do anything which would lead to the COVID-19 virus spreading. We're joined this morning by Cork-based GP and COVID lead for the Irish College of General Practitioners, Dr. Nuala O'Connor. Dr. O'Connor, you're welcome to the programme. We're at a critical moment, aren't we? If people socialise today because of how transmissible the virus is at the moment, are we potentially getting into a situation where case numbers could surge again?
Absolutely. I think this virus actually hasn't changed from the virus that, you know, in the recent months, what's happened is we now have more of the B.1.1.1 variant, which is actually more transmissible than the virus that we had in the run-up to Christmas. And I think the case numbers, unfortunately, in the last 2 weeks, they seem to have stalled in terms of the reduction. So there's still quite a bit of COVID disease in the community. And we've had one or two signals from the GP data in the last week or so that are concerning. So our GP community tracker, again, we can see that the number of cases meeting the criteria for COVID when people present with symptoms, that seems to have stalled. The reduction is not continuing. And when we look at our GP Sentinel practice network, which is where anyone who presents with symptoms of a flu-like illness, they're all tested for COVID. And even though the amount of people presenting with symptoms of flu-like illness has not increased, the number positive for COVID has gone from 9.7% to 13.9% over the course of the last 2 weeks. So some signals of concern there. And while I know, you know, say for instance in Cork, I mean, we in our practice, we haven't had a COVID case for positive for the last 5 weeks. And it's easy to sort of think, oh, sure, look, things aren't too bad near where me. I haven't heard of much COVID around. But COVID is there. The virus hasn't changed. And if we give this virus an opportunity to resurge, it certainly will do. And we know that this virus loves when people get together, particularly indoors. And I think, you know, we've all heard, you know, certainly about people planning to get together indoors. I mean, we've been hearing about, you know, play dates for children. I think sometimes parents will look, they're together in school. You know, it's no harm getting a few of them together today, indoors or outdoors. But we are still in a level five. And the advice is that we really need only to meet up with one household outdoors for exercise and to keep moving. And if we do find ourselves in a place where it's quite crowded, even in an outdoor area, it's important to put on a mask. So I think, you know, we've done so well in this country. Things are going largely in the right direction. Our vaccine programme is accelerating. But for the moment, we really need to focus on staying apart to stay safe and following all of the public health measures.
But are you seeing evidence too of people's support for the guidelines fraying? Because if we look at these latest figures on outbreaks, they show 205 family outbreaks last week, 31 of those among extended families. So that would suggest that families are visiting each other when they shouldn't be.
Yes, and that certainly is our concern. I've heard about, you know, friends of mine with children who've been invited. You know, their child is maybe invited to go on a play date again because they're going to school, or, you know, we're just hearing reports of this. And we know that when people started to socialise at Christmas among families and friends, this virus absolutely took off, and that could happen again. We've had this situation previously, though, related to a school holidays around Halloween last year. The numbers plateaued for a while. In fact, they even went back up again, but we got it back under control. So I suppose the appeal to people is to enjoy St. Patrick's Day, but to enjoy it safely. It's a beautiful day outside. get out, get some exercise, grab a cup of coffee, but have the cup of coffee and keep walking and keep going. Not to be standing together talking, not for people to be sitting around outdoors, and most importantly, for people not to be getting face to face indoors except with their immediate household or if they have a support bubble. Just for one more St. Patrick's Day, what we need to do is we need to keep the getting together by virtual means rather than by in person.
But it is very, very hard, as you will well know. We're over a year into this now, and people will say today, for example, as you say, it's going to be a lovely day. The sun's going to be shining. It's just inviting us outside. And people will say, well, it's safer to be outside. It's safer to meet my friends, go for a walk, have a coffee as we walk, but meet in a group outside. That's safer. What would you say?
Well, meeting outside is always safer than meeting inside. But this virus, you know, even with groups meeting outside, the temptation with groups, I think, is to get closer together, to you know, to maybe to break that 2 meter distance. And currently, under level 5 guidance, the guidance is that we should only be meeting with one other household for exercise. So our message to people is to get outdoors, enjoy the outdoors, but to enjoy it safely. And we must remember what we're trying to do here is we're trying to maintain the steady progress so that we can continue with what we are hoping to do, which is, you know, get all of our schools open, get the virus numbers down a little bit further. We need to protect our most vulnerable with vaccination, and we're on target for that. I mean, the over 70s, despite what has happened with at the pause in AstraZeneca at the moment, which hopefully the EMA is going to give a decision on that tomorrow, Thursday. But within general practice, we're on target with our over 70s. We'll be vaccinating in our own practice today. We'll be doing dose 2 of our 85s. And so if we move this on another couple of weeks, you know, we're going to have a lot more of our vulnerable people protected. And we're already seeing very, very positive impacts of vaccination. Mm-hmm. So we can see in our healthcare workers, the amount of people, healthcare workers contracting COVID has literally fallen off a cliff. The amount of people who are contracting COVID while they're in hospital has absolutely substantially reduced. We have a huge reduction in outbreaks in nursing homes. We've also seen a much steeper fall off and the incidence of COVID disease in our over 85s. So there are real signs that vaccination is starting to have an impact in Ireland. And we know in countries that are ahead of us, it's having an even greater impact.
Okay.
So there is a lot of cause for hope, yeah. But we just need to keep going for a little bit longer so that we can be in a position where the case numbers are a bit lower, we've protected our most vulnerable, and that then gives us more options for opening up society.
Okay.
Because what we don't want to happen at the moment is to relax too soon, have the case numbers go back up, and to delay the options for the government to open things up a bit further from the 5th of April, yeah, which is planned.
Thank you very much indeed. Dr. Nuala O'Connor, Cork-based GP, COVID lead for the Irish College of General Practitioners. COVID-19 certificate to allow EU citizens to travel inside the bloc. That's the plan by the European Commission to be announced later today. Citizens with proof of vaccination, a negative COVID-19 test, or proof of recovery from the virus should be allowed to travel to other member states and not be forced to quarantine on arrival. Our reporter Killian Sherlock has been getting reaction from the chairperson of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, Ruth Andrews.
We are delighted, certainly from the tourism industry's perspective, and indeed tourism and travel, including aviation and sea access, it's vitally important in terms of the recovery of international tourism that we have this coordinated, interoperable and transparent approach being developed by the European community. It is what we have been calling for from the middle of last year, when at that stage we were looking only at testing opportunities. But now with the advent of the vaccines since the beginning of this year and the rollout of those, it's even more important that we have that coordinated pan-European approach to actually allowing people to get moving again and to enable tourism, which has taken the greatest hit globally and here in Ireland, of any other industry.
That's Ruth Andrews there. We can talk now to our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. Tony, the impact of the vaccine on the transmissibility of the virus isn't known yet. So in terms of this certificate, is it ready to go by the European Commission?
Well, they're certainly proposing it today, Audrey, and this has been the subject of, I think, some quite heated discussion by member states already. In particular, leaders, as you know, leaders have been having some of these video conferences over the past few months, and this issue always comes up. And there's always been a push by the Mediterranean countries, those countries heavily dependent on tourism, to get some kind of mutually recognizable certificate or app or some kind of electronic credential, if you like, that would open up travel and tourism. And the Commission is today bringing forward its legislative proposals on this. So obviously it would have to be agreed by a majority of member states and the European Parliament. But broadly speaking, it would be a digital green certificate, is what it's being called, which would indicate that you have been vaccinated or you have a negative COVID test or you have some kind of proof that you've recovered from the virus. And that would then open up travel between member states and to get tourism and business moving again.
Would there be concerns about the level of health data on individuals that would be stored through this digital certificate and how that data would be used?
Yes, I mean, this idea comes with a number of concerns, and data privacy is, of course, one of them. Another key concern, of course, is that, you know, still a large majority of European populations have not been vaccinated. And as it looks like younger people would be the last to be vaccinated, would that mean some kind of discrimination against the younger population or people who, for whatever reason, can't be vaccinated? There's also the question, as you mentioned, about whether or not being vaccinated removes any risk of infecting other people. But these issues are going to be addressed in the legislation, and I think the Commission is probably more tilting on the side of the Mediterranean countries like Greece and Spain and Italy, who've been very keen to get their tourist sections opened up. The certificate would mean that any of the vaccines that have been approved by the European Medicines Agency would automatically grant you access if you have been vaccinated. But individual member states would be entitled to accept people who've been vaccinated by, say, Russian or Chinese vaccinations if they wish.
Okay. Tony, thanks very much. Tony Connolly, our Europe editor there. A major Garda operation is underway across the country today to encourage people not to take part in protests, street or house parties. It comes amid warnings that compliance with COVID-19 restrictions by members of the public has deteriorated and that an inevitable level of weariness is having consequences for policing. That warning has come from the Policing Authority. Its latest report on Garda actions during lockdown is out today. Its chairperson, Bob Collins, joins us now. Bob Collins, you're welcome. Why do you say that support for the guidelines is fraying in this report?
Well, there's probably a degree of inevitability that since this health emergency has lasted a great deal longer than anybody expected, that an element of weariness would enter into the public when people face into this prolonged period of enforced inactivity or limitation. And there are indications, not just from the outreach work that the Policing Authority has done with organisations across the country, but also from anonymised mobile data published by the CSO, by indications of traffic numbers, and not least by the number of instances in which fixed penalty notices, fines have been imposed, which together indicate that while the vast majority are making every effort to operate within the guidelines and to observe the legislation and the regulations, that it is fraying in relation to some, and that does have consequences. This is a challenging environment for policing at the best of times, a pandemic that has endured for as long as this one has, and this complicates matter because does tend to get in the way of the high quality of the relationship that had existed heretofore, particularly during the duration of the pandemic, between Gardaí and the public.
You've based that finding, though, that conclusion, largely on conversations, isn't it, within the community sector and those who work regularly with young people?
Well, that's an important contribution to it, but as I say, we looked also at the CSO data, at traffic information, and at the application of, or the imposition of fines. But undoubtedly, the outreach that has been done to organisations, voluntary, statutory, community across the country over the course of the last 12 months, and which has featured consistently in these COVID reports. This is now the 12th of those reports to the minister. That does indicate that there is a certain fraying, a certain, as I said, weariness, but also that the quality of the relationship, a slight erosion of goodwill that had existed heretofore, that was a particular characteristic of the relationship between Gardaí and public earlier, that there is some evidence of that now. And that is not without consequence, and that is something we will be looking very closely at. This is a difficult time for Gardaí, for people who are in the position of enforcing, ultimately, the regulations. These are people who have to live with the consequences in their own lives, within their own families, and they also find themselves, because of the nature of policing work, often in uncontrolled environments, in difficult circumstances, in necessary close contact, where social distancing and the other measures may not be either practical or possible. And there is an issue there too.
In the 7 weeks until March the 11th, just over 13,000 fixed penalty notices were issued. How many of those related to the protest on Grafton Street last month?
I don't have that detail, and I'm not sure that detail is available at this stage. The vast majority were in relation to gatherings in dwellings or other than in dwellings, and relatively few in relation to some of the other areas. I don't have the detail in relation to Grafton Street.
I ask that question because people are frustrated. Because they witness large groups at protests like the one in the city centre last month in clear defiance of the public health guidelines. And in their minds, that is tolerated to some degree by the authorities. And we don't know, as you've just said, how many fixed penalty notices were issued to any of those people who took part in that protest. And yet, if people feel that they gather in a house when they're not meant to, maybe visiting extended family, if they travel beyond 5K, if they cycle with five or six people rather than with two people, they'll face fines.
Well, steady on, perhaps. I think that there is a qualitative the existence of the emergency regulations does not displace the constitutional right to make a protest. And there is a qualitative difference between exercising that right and between having a house party. I think that if, whatever the number of fines that were issued in relation to the event in Grafton Street, there will have been a tiny, minuscule percentage of the total fines that have been issued.
But is that not a super spreader event at great risk? Because, I mean, we all saw the images. Those people were not socially distanced. That is a greater risk, is it not, than four or five people in a house?
I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest, what point you're making, because we all saw the images, we saw precisely the character of that event, and we saw the approach that was taken by some who were protesting towards Gardaí.
I suppose I'm asking you, the point is that you're unable to tell us how many of the fixed penalty notices, just over 13,000 of them, how many related to that protest. And I'm just putting the point to you that in many people's minds, they see two approaches by the Gardaí in relation to these big protests and in relation then to the individual and family activities that they may take.
I don't think they do see that. I think that most people, most reasonable people, who looked at any of the images from that protest will have seen an outrageous assault on members of the Garda Síochána who were simply doing their job. who were trying to contain, permit, facilitate, if that's the word, but who were trying to contain a demonstration which was unlawful, which manifested none of the care and concern that should have been manifested by anybody in these circumstances. And I don't think that they would have compared that to a decision taken to impose a fine on people in a house party, on a street party, or travelling abroad unnecessarily. I think people have the capacity to distinguish between that kind of a violent eruption in Dublin city and between some of the other issues that you identify.
Okay.
And I don't think that is the reason why there might be a weariness or a weakening in that sense of communal, shared communal commitment to the cause of fighting the pandemic. I think that there are real issues in relation to disparate levels of activity. I think that people are apprehensive when they see the fact that house parties, to use that term, gatherings in dwellings,
okay,
happen, and would be really concerned if they were happening with impunity,
okay,
and if there were no consequences.
We will leave it
there.
Because
there are health consequences.
We're over time, but thank you very much. Bob Collins, Chairperson of the Policing Authority. And at 8:36, it's good morning to Pádraig Lodge.
Good morning to you, Audrey. There were five Irish trained winners on the opening day of Cheltenham. Waterford trainer Henry de Bromhead won the champion hurdle with the mare Honeysuckle, ridden by Rachel Blackmore, who became the first female jockey to win a championship race at the festival. And Rachel Blackmore has been speaking about the people who inspired her to pursue a riding career.
When I started racing, you know, it was Katie Walsh and Nina Carberry who were the people in the weigh room when I was going in. And, you know, I was watching them ride winners left, right and centre, winners here, Irish Champ Nationals. You know, they, I think, instilled in me the fact that there is no difference, male or female. You know, they never made a deal out of it. They just got on with it. So that's kind of why I don't like to make, I suppose, too much of a deal of it either. It's just incredible. I was a bit speechless after it, and I haven't really found words yet, I don't think, either. It really is just incredible.
Rachel, the star of day one, but the show moves on quickly and the champion chase is the feature race today. Reporter Rupert Bell joins us now from the course. Good morning, Rupert.
Good morning, and I've just seen the Queens of Cheltenham this morning, Honeysuckle. I've managed to go and see her having a nibble at the grass before she comes back to Ireland this evening. And Rachel Blackmore was smiling as she came back in, having been working out on a few of Henry de Bromhead's horses this morning. So, yes, it was a wonderful day for her and Honeysuckle. And today, well, they're calling it on the racing post St Mullins Day, because looking at his entries, Pádraig, you think he's going to have an outstanding chance of finally winning the Queen Mother Champion Chase. 73 festival wins. It's hard to think that he hasn't won that, but then it took him so long to win the Gold Cup, which he could try and win for a third time. He's then got Monkfish, he's got Kilcroot. I mean, it's just an unbelievable army of horses he's brought over here, and as I say, he could just add to that tally of 73 winners, presumably many people think as easily as some of the winners we saw yesterday.
And then looking at that big race today, Rupert, we have a field of 10 going to post. What's your read on it?
Well, I think Chacon Poursois does look so far the best. Now, Politologue is the defending champion, but Paul Nichols says it looks a deeper race, and obviously Chacon Poursois is the one to beat. I think First Flow's got a bit of a squeak, but all known sort of gut feelings suggest that it should be Chacon Poursois. But, you know, you've got to jump these fences, you never know, but has put the kettle on in the race as well, who loves running here, and of course comes from Henry de Bromhead's yard. You can't ignore that one. She looks to have a decent chance as well. So it's not a foregone conclusion for Chacon Poursois, but I think it might be more of a foregone conclusion that it goes to an Irish trainer.
And beyond the big race then, is there any particular highlight of elsewhere on the card?
Tiger Roll, we've got is the horse able to win a fifth time at the festival, or is it a swan song for the great horse? He's won two Grand Nationals, not going to go back to Aintree this year, but his form this year has been indifferent. So let's just hope we see something of the talent of Tiger Roll, and even if it can go down gracefully in defeat, if this is his final race over in this country, because he owes nobody anything. He's been an absolute superstar, and I hope he can give a good account of himself on ground that is officially described here as good to soft. It's an overcast morning, no rain forecast, so conditions perfect on both the main track and the cross-country course.
Very good, Rupert. Nice to talk to you. Rupert Bell reporting live from Cheltenham this morning. You can keep up to date with the racing through the afternoon with a live tracker on rte.ie/sport. Manchester City have reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the fourth year in a row. First-half goals from Kevin De Bruyne and Ilkay Gundogan secured a comfortable 2-0 victory over Borussia Mönchengladbach in Budapest, City going through 4-0 on aggregate. Real Madrid easily overcame Atalanta 3-1 at home to progress 4-1 on aggregate. The Real goals coming from Karim Benzema, Sergio Ramos from a penalty and Marco Asensio. The last two quarterfinal spots will be filled tonight. Chelsea are 1-0 up on Atletico Madrid. Bayern Munich hold a 4-1 lead over Lazio. The Netherlands will allow 5,000 spectators who've tested negative for COVID-19 to attend their World Cup qualifier against Latvia in Amsterdam this month as part of a study. The experiment, which is being run in collaboration with the Dutch government, will look at how many contact situations there are between people at the match. The Ireland women's hockey team drew 1-1 with Olympic champions Great Britain in Belfast. The result means that three-match Softco series finishes level with one win each and a draw. Róisín Upton put Ireland ahead, scoring from a penalty stroke. The British team equalised through Izzy Petter. Tiger Woods is out of hospital and continuing his recovery at home from a car crash. Woods, in a tweet, said he was grateful for the outpouring of support and encouragement that he's received over the past few weeks. Sports clubs in Northern Ireland will be able to resume training for adults and children outdoors in groups of up to 15 from the 12th of April. And finally, in sailing, Team New Zealand secured the 36th America's Cup with a dominant 46-second victory over Italy in race 10 off the coast of Auckland overnight.
Well, it's all virtual today across the Atlantic. The Taoiseach's meeting with the US President, Vice President and Speaker of the House. There will also be meetings with the North's leaders. Our correspondent in Washington is Brian O'Donovan.
This morning, US President Joe Biden will attend St. Patrick's Day Mass in his home city of Wilmington, Delaware, before returning to Washington. Then I suppose the first of the virtual events takes place this afternoon as the Vice President, Kamala Harris, and she will hold this virtual meeting with the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. Then after their one-on-one discussion, the two of them will stay on the line and they'll take part in an online event which celebrates the Frederick Douglass Global Fellows. Now, this is a group of 20 American students from minority backgrounds who have been selected to visit Ireland later this year. Vice President Kamala Harris will then have another meeting. It's a virtual meeting again, this time with the Northern Ireland First Minister Arlene Foster and the Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill. A clear signal, Brexit, Northern Ireland, going to be some of the big issues that are going to be discussed today. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, she would normally host a St. Patrick's Day lunch this year. That can't happen, of course, so it has to be an online celebration, and that will feature remarks from President Joe Biden, the Taoiseach, and senior members of Congress. Then comes the big event, a virtual one-hour meeting between the Taoiseach and the President. President Biden will be sitting in the Oval Office. A crystal bowl of shamrock has already been delivered to the White House. It will sit alongside him on his desk as he speaks to Micheál Martin on a screen, and there will be a virtual shamrock presentation followed by that one-on-one meeting.
And I wonder, Brian, will the virtual nature of the talks this year, will that have an impact on the lobbying effort on the big issues?
I don't think so, Audrey. No, I mean, I think the lobbying will still be there. The impact will still be there. You know, it's interesting when you cover the White House every evening, you get the schedules for the following day for the Vice President and the President. And I can tell you they're looking very green today. They're looking very Irish. Lots of events. And that's not usual that you would see one country dominate all the politicians' events, basically, for the day. Micheál Martin will have the ears of some of the most powerful politicians in the world throughout the day. And what are the big issues? Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be Brexit. It's going to be about Northern Ireland. On the week where we see the European Union taking legal action against the UK over the withdrawal agreement, you can be very sure that we're going to see lots of references to the Northern Ireland Protocol, to protecting the Good Friday Agreement, and to protecting peace. But of course, the other big issue, COVID-19, and in particular, COVID-19 vaccines. And remember the situation we're in right now, a surplus, a stockpile of vaccines here in the US, Joe Biden making big promises about having enough vaccine supply for everybody in the US in the coming weeks and months. Contrast that with Ireland, with Europe, with many parts of the world where we have these huge vaccine shortages. Micheál Martin has said he will raise the issue of the global vaccine supply chain. Joe Biden was asked about this last night. He said, yes, look, we are in discussions with several other countries about the possibility of sending our vaccines abroad. But he has vowed that he wants vaccinations for all Americans first before he will start sending any vaccines out of the country.
And in the years since the last St. Patrick's Day, Brian, John Hume, that giant of peacemaking in Ireland, died. And the events today will conclude with a celebration of his contribution.
That's right, Audrey. It'll be an online event hosted by the Congressional Friends of Ireland on Capitol Hill. The Irish Embassy here in Washington is also co-hosting it. And it's called Remembering John Hume in America. And yes, it recalls and celebrates that crucial role that John Hume played when it came to garnering support for the peace process here in the US. That all-important support that got that Good Friday Agreement over the line. John Hume, of course, passed away, as you said, August of last year, and many here in America who would have wanted to travel to Ireland for that funeral could not do so because of the pandemic. So the Irish Embassy here in Washington saying that this is an online event, a chance for people from both sides of the Atlantic, all walks of life, to celebrate John Hume. The programme will include contributions from big names, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Taoiseach, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Bono, Mary McAleese, and a musical performance by Phil Coulter from the Guildhall in Derry.
Brian O'Donovan in Washington. Well, it is another St. Patrick's Day in which we've been asked to stay at home rather than come together in celebration of the national holiday. So how will we connect with each other and with our wider Irish family? Joan O'Sullivan has been finding out.
Well, for the second year in a row, there will be no traditional St. Patrick's Day parade in
Dublin. All parades are being cancelled.
The advice at the moment is that people stay at home.
Cancelled.
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 This St. Patrick's Day will once again be a pandemic production. And according to Tara Flynn, the Grand Marshal of this year's St. Patrick's Festival, you've just got to laugh.
So I'm the virtual Grand Marshal. Yes, everything's happening online. Then I said, I'm virtually delighted. I'm virtually honoured. Your one-stop shop is stpatricksfestival.ie because SPF TV was launched on Friday. It gives us that moment to look back at the last year and go, okay, we're here again. We can't have our big parades. We can't all be together on the streets. But what we can do is celebrate the best of our country, the best of each other, and join each other online.
But on the other side of the world, over 10,000 miles away, there is a place that's celebrating St. Patrick's Day in person.
My name is Cathy O'Sullivan and I'm on the Board of Trustees for the St. Patrick's Festival in Auckland. And we have the Hugh Green Group St. Patrick's Parade, which takes place on Queen Street in Auckland, one of Auckland's biggest streets. New Zealand's one of the only places in the world that's actually going to be able to have an in-person parade, so that will be taking place from about midday on Saturday. So it's a bit bittersweet because we know the same isn't true for our friends and family at home in Ireland, and they'll be very much in our thoughts.
But people have been finding new ways to celebrate Irish culture at home too. Meet the Gardner brothers, Matthew and Michael, two world champion Irish dancers from Galway, who had been due to start the tour of their lives with Riverdance last year until the pandemic struck.
The start of the pandemic took our physical stage away from us.
Yes.
Like actually dancing on a stage.
And the live audiences.
And it gave us an opportunity to use a virtual stage. So we began making videos together. Our goal was that we wanted to just showcase how, you know, versatile Irish dancing has become, and it's really become incredibly athletic and modern. Like, you can put it to any type of music. It doesn't just have to be traditional. We had quite a small following at the beginning of the pandemic, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And that was just amazing to see that people really enjoyed what we were doing.
Yeah, and it was also, you know, to keep Irish dancing alive.
Other people have been coming up with some innovative ideas too.
My name is Adrian McCusker, and our company is called Post a Selfie. We've decided that because of the year that's in it, we'd do a free voucher code to our customers so they can do a postcard and send it to a loved one or a friend free. Yeah, it's missed me, I'm Irish.
My name is Ross O'Callaghan, and the project is called Paddy Irishman. The project is basically a search for paddies of Ireland, all ages, shapes, sizes, who are Irish men and who are willing to get a portrait taken to hopefully build a pile of images that show off the great paddies that we have across the nation.
Have you been contacted by many so far?
I've had inundated with paddies. And behind all these
mother problems. Others think that this St. Patrick's Day is an opportunity for re-engaging with our folklore and our traditions. Storyteller Eddie Lenehan.
This is a year for thinking about times gone by, whereas normally we would have had time for shouting, celebrating. This will be a different kind of celebration.
Do you think the pandemic has had any effect on the fairies?
A good question, and a very good question. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it probably has given them a new lease of life.
Traveling.
Eddie Lenehan and the fabulous Tolu Mackay ending that report by Joan O'Sullivan. Well, let's talk to our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds, about the real world in the hours ahead. Paul, is Dublin city centre and the city itself being locked down today?
Yeah, it's normal on St. Patrick's Day to see Gardaí out on the streets, Audrey. I mean, parts of towns and cities all over the country are usually sealed off for parades. However, with no parades this year, Dublin is being cordoned off to try to limit control and dissipate protesters who are planning to gather and march in various locations today. Now, plans the Gardaí believe are being disseminated on social media. There's a variety of different groups issuing instructions and recommendations, arranging for lifts, that sort of thing, on various social media platforms. And these are being monitored online by the Gardaí, and in particular the Garda's cybercrime unit. They're mainly anti-vaccine, anti-mask and anti-lockdown protesters. And the difficulty is that people are being fueled by conspiracy theorists who are spreading misinformation online, which is being believed by vulnerable and angry people. Now, ordinary and educated people would see much of these claims as nonsense. However, the aim of spreading this misinformation is not really to have people believe it, but to sow doubt in people's minds, to undermine confidence in trusted institutions and individuals who are there to help people, the government, the health services, the Gardaí, the media, broadcast and newspapers. And it's by sowing doubts with misinformation that these people can undermine regular and normal people's beliefs in society and democracy, and therefore undermine the coherence that keeps us all together. So this is what's behind some of the groups and some of the people who have been encouraged to come out on the streets today.
So what will the policing operation and the approach by the Gardaí will take? What will that all look like, Paul?
Well, the Gardaí say they're taking a graduated approach. There's three levels, really. The first level is that they engage with people. They talk to people who are out on the streets. They ask them, why are they out? They ask them, would they please go home? They explain and they educate them as to the dangers of the coronavirus, the fact that it is spreading and we are in a pandemic. And it's only as a last resort, they move to enforcement. Now, we saw Gardaí in Dublin yesterday carrying out this approach, talking to people, taking their names and addresses, and some fines will be issued as a result of what they did yesterday. However, the right to protest is a constitutional right, so legally the Gardaí are walking a fine line. Now, if large crowds gather today, and most people hope they won't, and the word from the government and the Gardaí and the public health specialists is for people to please stay at home and only exercise within 5 kilometres of their homes, it's a different St. Patrick's Day today. But if large crowds gather, the Gardaí will be in soft cap mode, which is where they try to control and contain, and they're in uniforms. It was like Grafton Street before it became violent. And if any of the issues there, any of the gatherings today become violent, they will move to what's known as level 3, which is a full public order mode, which nobody wants to see, except perhaps for a few key agitators who, the pattern shows, go to these events to cause trouble and hide behind committed protesters or decent people who often find themselves caught up in these incidents which become violent and find themselves, professional working people often find themselves before the courts because they're sucked into a mob situation which they didn't realise was going to happen when they initially only went out to protest and to stand by their genuine beliefs.
Okay. Now, We'll leave it there, Paul. We're out of time. Sinead, very best of Irish arts and culture on display today.
Yeah, it's exceptional, really. And I have to say, hats off, Boulibus Moore, to everybody who has put together the online coverage, because really there's a massive amount of work gone into it. Obviously, this is our second St. Patrick's Day under the pandemic. Last year it had just happened, so it was all about cancellations. But this year, a huge amount of work has been put into recording things that go on all online and on TV. Now, it's all online and on TV. There are no organised events. Obviously, the theory is they don't want people congregating, meeting, standing around looking at things in the public. So it's all online or on TV. But so much work has been put into it. You've got Shoda, for example, the Department of Foreign Affairs, Culture Ireland, showing the best of Irish music and art internationally, but it can be watched on their YouTube channel. You've got the St. Patrick's Festival, which has been running for the past 6 days, and that is online. And also on the Oireachtas TV channel, people might to come across it, and that kind of comes, you know, the highlights on it today are concerts. There's that beautiful Orchestra of Light put together by Tourism Ireland, Dublin City Council and many others. There's also special RTE programming throughout the day, including a programme at 6:30 looking at what's going on, a Late Late Show tonight and so on. So really there's practically no major Irish musician or filmmaker or artist who you won't see today. The difference is you're going to see them on a screen and not in real life.
Yeah, and the real hope must be that this will be the last one like this, Sinead.
Absolutely. I spoke to Russa Osnodig yesterday from Keela, who is not just a very well-known Irish traditional musician, but they also scored the music for Wolfwalker. So they're having a very good week. And he made the point that it's great for musicians to have this and to have the outlet and to be able to play. But at the same time, they really miss their audiences. And he was saying, if you're listening to music at home, make sure you try and get a speaker that you're not just listening to through the phone. You know, they really miss the big speakers and being able to connect with the audience. But at the same time, at least the online is there, at least the TV is there, because really it's always been a day where we share our arts and culture with the world. So the effort is to try and do it through a screen this year and hold the fort until we're able to do it properly again.
Hold the fort, exactly. Brilliant efforts by everyone involved to put it all together. Sinead, thanks a million. Sinead Crowley, our arts and media correspondent. It's 2 minutes to 9.